Hey, Creepies, we have a special episode for you. I'm going to give you a heads up. The audio is a little muffled on our side. We didn't have the proper mic, but it is okay. I think you're going to enjoy it anyway. I'm going to let Sean tell you what the episode's about.
We had a fun and creepy conversation being interviewed by Eleanor Wagner of Creepin' It Real. Enjoy, Creepies.
Welcome, paranormal enthusiasts, to this week's episode of Creepin' It Real, here on the Coast to Coast Entertainment Network, where everyone comes for their paranormal fix. Real people, real stories, in real time. So glad you could join us for some ghostly gab. I'm your host, Eleanor Wagner. Hello, all. As always, I appreciate you hitting the subscribe tab, follow button, or show app on your podcast of choice. Everybody give a hello shout out to our coast-to-coast techie, Crispy Bacon. He'll be working hard tonight to help us run smoothly. This week's guests are podcasters who love to paranormal investigate, except podcasting is their main gig. They've been doing their show now for 2.5 years out of Plainfield, Indiana, where they regularly advocate for mental health awareness and anti-bullying. They said, "We're not investigators, but rather podcasts. Heck, we don't even use equipment. We go to places to check out, and if we experience something, then cool. If not, no big deal." And I'm good with that. So please join me in welcoming middle-aged and creeped-out co-host Todd Hedges, co-host Sean Lehman, and tech engineer Nate Laux.
Hello. Hey, Eleanor.
Hey, how are you? Now, Nate, did I pronounce that correctly? Is it Laux?
It is Laux.
All right. I meant to ask you that beforehand, and I said, shit, I hope I don't say it wrong.
No, you nailed it. Yeah, I was wondering.
It's Laux.
Well, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Thank you for having us. Yeah,
I'm excited. So middle-aged and creeped out. So I'm kind of thinking that you do talk about creepy things or strange, kind of like what I do. Is that what you do on your show?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. We love the paranormal, unexplained, weird, odd, and anything creepy. So that is our topic. Yes, yes.
That's our shtick, right?
Yeah. Well, we try to keep it as so, yeah. And we're middle-aged, so I'm the oldest of the three. I'm 52, and these guys are, yeah, they call me grandpa or dad.
Well, I got you all beat because I'm 58, so.
You're quite young.
Yeah, you're young. We talk about the fun, creepy stuff. So
now, what do? Do you seek it out, or do people come to you, or?
That's a good question. We used to, we take it like a rotation of what we're going to talk about. We kind of come up with topics, but we have, we were just talking about having more guest chats and having people come to us. And as we get more popular, people give us ideas and things they want to hear us talk about. So it's kind of a variety.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Because you get to a point where you're like, I mean, I'm learning a lot more. I came in with this vision of things that I was interested in when I was a kid, when they had this show In Search Of and Unsolved Mysteries. And it was like, okay, I really remember those things and I'll look that up. But that was kind of like, it was television, you know? And now after doing these shows, I'm hearing about stuff I never even imagined. I'm like, what is that? And I'm intrigued. And there's a ton of people out there that are into all of this crazy stuff that I never even heard about. So it's definitely broadening my horizons for sure.
I always have fun because Todd will text me. He's like, "Hey, I need a topic for next Wednesday." And I'm like, "Okay." And I'll just get on Google and go like, "Haunted Australia."
There you go.
I just start scanning through stuff and that sounds cool. Let's do that one.
That's how we do it. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's amazing. You can Google, like haunted Australia, haunted, you know, New Jersey or haunted specific cities, even, and just towns. And then, or you can just put you know, a specific, like you want to do if you're into cryptids or ghosts or demons, and then stories come off from that. So it's really, we're never going to run out of material. It's,
yeah.
I've heard, asked, or like, I've been asked, I don't know about them, but I've been asked a couple of times, so how, you know, are you going to run out of material? Like, how long is this going to go? I'm like, no. There's so much out there. I mean, you know, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, we'll go for as long as we are able, right? It's mm-hmm. never ending, actually.
Yeah, but you know, we do, like Sean said, we rotate. If we don't have a guest chat, so like, you know, we try to pick topics, and then okay, this week's Sean's topic for the full, and then we do mini episodes every Saturday. So maybe the mini episode is Nate's topic, and then the next week it might be mine, and so that's how we try to keep. So we're all three involved.
That's good. Saying, oh, you take turns.
Yeah. So
yeah.
We've been
now, were you guys friends before, or did you just randomly come together?
We're not friends now.
No, we're I don't even like them. No, I don't like them either. But
Todd and I met in baseball with our sons playing baseball back in, what did we figure?
Okay.
2017, because my family and I moved to Plainfield in 2016, and so he was a dugout dad, and we would sit there and talk. So he started inviting me to meet some of his friends, and we'd go do like guy nights, and that's how we got to know each other. Mm-hmm. And then during COVID, those guy nights became like non-existent. And once they started opening up the restaurants where we could come back together again, nobody would come out with us. And so it was just him and I, and we would just be like, this sucks. You know, like nobody gets together anymore. We're all afraid of our shadows. And so we were just talking about how depressing it is and our mental state. And I would share crazy stories that are hard to believe, but he was like, then he started telling me that he wanted to start a podcast. I'm like, you'd be a great podcaster. So that's how we became, you know, into this genre. And then Nate came on when we decided to do a podcast. It was one of those things where like, hey, you want to help us with this? And he's like, sure. You know, and it was just kind of like, we all bumbled it together.
Now, Eleanor, I'm going to say, it's not as smooth as that. Let me just back up real quick. That's how we all met. That's how we came together. But
And then as far as meeting, I've known Sean for numerous years. I actually went to his wedding because my wife and his wife worked together.
So oh, okay.
I've known him ever since his wedding, even though we weren't friends then.
Gotcha.
Yeah, well, we're not friends now.
How did you come? I mean, once you found out about this guy, you want to decide to be a friend. No, so they knew each other. So Eleanor went, so I decided, okay, I'm going to do a podcast. I was going to do one by myself. And then Sean, his encouragement, and, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll do one. I don't know why I went
to I told him I would be your first guest, remember?
Oh, yeah, you did. And like, so I thought about it. I thought, I want to do a podcast with somebody. I want to have a co-host, like somebody to do it with me. So I'm not just telling a story by myself. There could be a discussion, some dialogue. So I asked him, he hauled around for it. No, not a long time, but he's like, oh my gosh, I've got four kids, a wife, full-time job. I said, well, I got the same thing. He's like, yeah, said, all right, I'm in. So then I ordered the equipment and got, you know, we came up with the name and the format and all that. But guess what? We don't know how to, Sean and I are not tech guys, so we don't know how to do the recording, the editing, the sound.
I'm
looking around with everybody that's like, can you help me? Jerry Polly of Hillbilly Horror Stories, he's like, well, I could do it through over the phone or whatever, it's easy. And then he came up with Nate. He's like, hey, I've got a guy, he's been in a band, he knows how to do sound, knows how to run a soundboard. I'm like, I don't care. I said, is he a good guy? He's like, oh, you'll love him, he's a great guy. I go, bring him on, I don't care who. Yeah, so that's how it happened. That's how, you know, like the date. What, a day or two before? Right up to the minute we were ready to do our first episode. Nothing like
the last second, right?
Oh, my gosh.
No, he forgets that he wanted a co-host that was tall, dark, and handsome.
So he settled for me.
I've
said it 1,000 times. I wouldn't have anybody. I have had great friends. I still have a lot of friends. Oh, my gosh, I can't count them all. This guy would be the only one, though, I would want to do this podcast with. And because he has a passion for it. Some people like it, or they like scary movies. They like, oh, ghost stories, fun. But Sean's into it. He's like us, you know. He, mm-hmm. he you know,
I am weird. He is weird.
And then it only fit perfect. And then Nate, he's into this stuff, and you know, he knows what he's doing.
You gotta have some interest in it, right? You need that to keep the intrigue. And it is rough. I mean, I know I started out with the first show, which is Ellen O'Reilly's Strange and Scary World podcast out of the Paranormal UK radio network. And that one is a pre-recorded show. So it was getting used to the editing part. And I like that, because then you can take out, if you have a guest on the show that constantly says, and all those little words that you don't want inside your discussion that take up so much space, you can actually edit that out. So when you're on live, obviously that's a problem. Or if you mess up live, that's a problem. But the good thing about the live is that you don't have to edit. So it has its advantages and disadvantages. But I was just doing the paranormal show on Paranormal UK, and then Coast to Coast said, do you want to do a live show? And I was like, So I was just doing the other show biweekly, because it's very hard. I'm a writer first. I've written 6 books. So that was my main goal. And here I was doing this one podcast and was asked to do another one. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. But I've been doing it. I've been able to do it. And life does get in the way sometimes, but somehow I managed to pull it together, and I haven't missed a show yet. So I guess I'm doing okay. But like you, I'm not tech savvy at all. I know nothing about this. And I kind of went out like you did and said, does anybody know that they can help me? What do I have to buy to get this started? And you learn as you go. So I've come a long way too, but I'm still not tech savvy. So
one thing that we try to do is we try to do minimal editing, unless it's a complete mess up. We leave a lot of it in there.
About 99%.
We like to keep it real, like you're asking.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I think that's also important, wanting to keep it real. So that's a big deal. Yeah, I agree.
Good or bad, that's what we get.
We do have a blooper reel, though.
Oh my gosh, Eleanor.
We do.
I don't know if we want to drop
it. Do you really?
It is funny. It's all the mess ups that we're like, oh my gosh, and we
will charge for.
Yeah. We might say some stuff that we would not put on our episode, but yeah. No, it's fun. It's fun. We laugh.
It's probably fun to look at that stuff, I'm sure. Yeah.
So
you have this podcast and you talk about weird, crazy, creepy things, but you also like to paranormal investigate. And so on occasion, you guys go out and venture into the paranormal world to investigate something that intrigues you. And I would love to talk about some of that stuff. For example, the Indiana State Sanatorium that you went to. I have a picture, actually. Chris will put it up for us, of the location. I got to give picture credit to John McCool because he took that picture. But the location itself is on over 200 acres in west central Indiana. And it offers like full access to over 120,000 square feet of this historic tuberculosis hospital, nursing home, mental hospital, and supporting buildings, which include thousands of feet of steam tunnels, which I think are really cool. The Indiana State Sanatorium operated as Indiana's main tuberculosis hospital from 1908 to 1968, and it reopened as a healthcare center in 76. It operated as a nursing home and private mental house until 2011, when it closed suddenly, leaving behind hundreds of beds and hospital equipment, which I'm sure going into that building now is probably really creepy to see that stuff just left behind. Why did you want to go there? Did you hear haunting tales about it, or did you know that they opened up to the public for people to come in and do investigations?
Yeah, really, it's about an hour away from us, hour west. So we're west of like downtown Indy, maybe half hour, 25 minutes, and this is an hour west of us. So it's like literally a straight shot down US 36.
Mm-hmm.
So I had never even heard of the place, even being in Indiana all my life, didn't know anything about it, and there is a local neighborhood networking site, I guess, and they have them all around the nation. And somehow somebody posted. This guy said, "Hey, I live in Danville, which is just the town over from us, a couple towns over." And he said, "If anybody's interested, I'm going to go to Rockville, Indiana, to the Indiana State Sanatorium. It's a cool, creepy historical place. It's great. Paranormal Activity. And when I saw that, I'm like, uh-oh, ding, 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 paranormal.
Yeah.
I reached out to the guy and I said, hey, and now we had been doing the podcast, but not very long. I said, hey, we do a podcast and we talk about stuff like this. I said, tell me more about this, because he's been out there many times. He's like, oh my gosh, you guys will love this place. He's like, go out there. It's the owners are great. They, you know, you can do tours or investigations and self-guided tours, whatever. He's like, it's very inexpensive. And I'm like, okay, even better. So that's how I came across this place. And I told the guys, I'm like, you want to just check out this Indiana State Sanatorium sometime. So Erin Egnatz, who's been on our show a couple of times, she's a paranormal investigator in Northern Indiana. She had set up a date for us to go with her. Well, she got sick the morning of. So Sean, Nate, and I still went out there and walked around all the buildings. Like, there's about 5 or 6 buildings.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Anyway.
There was snow on the ground, too. It was cold.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it was pretty cold. Yeah, I used to dress warm. And because, I mean, all the windows busted out. The doors are open. I mean, it's whatever it is outside, you're going to feel it inside, you know. And so we went out there. Sure. And loved it. We spent, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours out there just checking the place out. And then we decided to do an on-location, what we call on-locations, meaning if somebody lets us bring our equipment to a haunted place or whatever, then we will set up and we'll do recordings at the investigator or at a place, so we can meet people. Mm-hmm. We can kind of advertise our podcast and, you know, meet the owner. So we went out there. The first time was in November of 2022, and then in April of 2023 we did our on location. So we've been out there twice, and Eleanor, the place is fantastic. It's hard to
explain. It kind of reminds me of Pennsylvania penitentiary that I went to last November. It even looks like it, because you brought this picture with you of you guys kind of, there's the picture right there. It looks similar too, especially when you go down into the tunnels and stuff. It's really creepy, but it's
powerhouse.
Yeah, the powerhouse. Yeah. Yeah. It's got old equipment and these big, heavy machine. I just, you know, how they, you know, ran the place, you know, the power, and it's just like, oh my gosh.
And there was a confrontation in that building with like 2 janitorial or mechanic guys working there, and the one ended up murdering the other one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Gives you the warm and fuzzies, right?
Yeah.
Let's get straight to the point.
Yeah, it doesn't disappoint. It's awesome. It's a fun place.
Did you have any activity while you were there that you could speak of, or?
The second time when we were there, I was coming out of that power station, and Todd was standing next to me, and I kind of did a double take, and he's like, did you see something? I mean, this is broad daylight. And I told him, I said, I saw somebody, there was a bench across the way, and I thought I saw somebody sitting over there, and I looked, and nobody was there, but I could have sworn that somebody was sitting there, because there were different people there that day, so I just thought somebody was just like taking a break or casually sitting there. There was nobody there. So whether that was my mind or I really, you know, whatever, but I told him,
come on, you know, it was a spirit. Don't say, it was a spirit.
There are down in those tunnels you're talking about. There are bats down there. Mm. They're little bats that are,
they're cute. They're little.
They're not like, they're not humongous bats, but they're little take home
bats.
Indiana
brown bat.
Yeah. They've got tons. What's creepy though. The guy that I talked to on that neighborhood chat site, whatever you want to call it, he said the tunnels, he goes, when you go in there, he goes, there's just millions of bugs, like these crickets. And he's like, and of course, I mean, that doesn't creep me out. But when you go down there, he said they like literally cover the walls. And like, and we've seen a few, but like you run into everything, bats, crickets, and it's just the vibe. It's the atmosphere. If nothing happens, you're just like, wow, this place is really, it's crazy. It's really, it's stuck in time too, because it only closed 2011. Mm-hmm. And they literally, when they came in and closed it down, they said, shut down, like putting the chains
the
on the door.
The chains,
and so you see all these records of patients and business stuff and financials and tax returns and garments and, you know, a stack 20 feet high, it seems like, of laundry, you know. It's just like, wow, people were actually...
You want to hear something crazy? Mm. We did an investigation in a private residence, and it was an old manor house that belonged to a mafia guy. But that wasn't even half of it. the building had been divided into apartments. So people were living in these apartments, and we were invited in to do an investigation because everybody in all of their apartments was having shit happen. And we were in this one apartment that these two women were living in, and they were telling us about all the activity that they had, but you could tell that there was definitely something going on because the animals that they owned were all wired and these women were wired. And you just knew that something was affecting them. And now there was a suicide in their apartment at one point in time, but we really didn't think that that was what was causing it. And so when we were interviewing this couple, the one woman said, oh, we're really into paranormal investigating ourselves. And I'm really sensitive to spirit. And she senses spirit. She's seen it since she was a kid, which I meet a lot of people that do. So you do have that in common, that they like to paranormal investigate. So then she starts telling us that she went to an old sanatorium. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but yeah, they decided they were going to go to this sanatorium to investigate, she and I. And while we were there, I brought home some souvenirs. And I'm thinking, damn, that's what's causing this stuff going on in the apartment. Because she brought home stuff that was left behind over there. So she's bringing that home to this apartment that used to belong to a mafia guy. And that was not going to mesh very well. So we just looked at her and go, what? You got to bring that back. You can't take that with you. That's why you're having more issues than everybody else's, because you brought this stuff home with you. You don't take stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, you know, common sense, but a lot of people have had stuff happen to them when they bring shit home with them.
Yeah, you can't take a chance. Like, you think, no, it can't. Nothing will follow you and nothing will attach, but like, why take the chance if, you know, what if it does, you know, and probably.
Yeah, it's disrespectful to the spirits that are there too, because that's their stuff. Yeah, and if you're taking it, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, you're taking it. Yeah. That's a no-no.
Yeah, this sanatorium though, like we've told multiple times, people, it's like, it's hard to explain. Like you have to go there because, like I said, what was funny is when we went the first time, we didn't know what to expect. And like, oh my gosh, So you walk in the, what I guess he's called the director or the one that kind of ran the place, and he had a home, you know, kind of
like an administrator's building.
Yeah, administrator. And so
he
lived on the campus. It was him in his family's house. And like you walk in, there's not a ton of stuff downstairs. Beautiful house. You know, I would love to see what it looked like 30 years ago. But you walk up in the attic, and Nate, Sean, and I are like, oh my gosh, like there's
full of junk.
Just kids' toys, kids' games,
Christmas stuff.
And then like you'll see a magazine from like Life magazine from 1968, and then you might see a something that said 1985. It's all these things. Nate or Sean, one of them found. They're like, oh, check this out. It was like the director's administrator's tax returns in 1980. Their tax returns. I'm like,
wow.
But there's just stuff everywhere. It's, you know, you go in the kitchen area. There's plastic where it just knocked over, and I know a lot of it's probably vandalism, but like there's the stuff that they cook the meals, and you know, there's a chessboard, and like somebody one time was playing a game, and you know, and then they had to leave and whatever, and it's the pieces are still there. It's just crazy.
They know that it's there, and like that bench you were talking about that's there, and somebody was sitting on the bench. They're sitting on the bench because they know the bench is there.
Yeah.
You know, so if you take that bench away, that's not going to make them very happy.
Now, we're going there twice. We love the place, but we haven't had a whole lot of experiences there. But we're not going to stop.
No,
especially if you like it there. Keep going back.
Yeah, both times it's been through the, you know, during the day too. So want to do a night tour, a night investigation there and see what happens then.
Yeah,
spirits are not picky about whether it's day or night, though, but
true,
like doing it at night, too, so I like going at night. Well, plus, it works better with our schedule, so we all have regular full-time jobs during the week, so go on, like, a Friday night or a Saturday night, because that's best, you know.
Yeah, I think, the first time we went on a Sunday morning-ish, and then the on-location was on a Saturday afternoon, so it's always been, definitely a weekend. It's just easier. Like I said, we all three work full-time, and it's just better that way, it seems like. But The sanatorium is cool because you do self-guided tours or investigations. So within the hours, it's $25 a person. So you have access to all the buildings. They have like two houses they're trying to either kind of fix up because they're pretty dangerous to walk around. So they have those blocked off, but everything else is fair game. So you can spend as much time as you want until they're ready to close down. But then they do investigations. They have official tours. So you have multiple ways to check the campus out, and it's pretty reasonable. Like I said, they're not trying to get rich off of anybody, enough to keep it up, make some money, but, you know, they're not gouging anybody. So.
Nice. Well, yeah. You guys also went to the Waverly Hills Sanatorium, located in the Waverly Hills neighborhood of Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah. And Chris is going to put a picture up, and we'll give Waverly Hills Sanatorium website and Chris Arnold credit for that picture. This eerie old sanatorium was originally constructed in 1910 to hold tuberculosis patients and their contagion before the advent of modern antibiotics. And it ceased to function as a health center in 62. Since then, many consider this former sanatorium to be haunted. I personally love the look of the building, and I would definitely go there myself. What happened while you guys were there?
First of all, it looks like a fortress. And when you come up there, it's almost like visiting a comic book, like Arkham Asylum is what I felt like coming up. And I was like, And that's the first thing we got to do was look at the outside before we went inside. And then they gave us an hour tour before it got too dark. And then once it got, we got settled in, they locked us in for the night. And they said, you have to get permission to actually get out and leave.
Oh, no kidding.
It was kind of creepy, but it was. We had our snacks and we had our
I can't go without your snacks.
Oh, I gotta have that.
Safe zone and little cafeteria area.
Oh yeah, the vending machine. Yeah, we brought our food, drinks, and and again, that was with Erin, our friend Erin. So she set up an investigation and overnight. So from like eight to eight, basically, or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's usually what they do. And this is one of the tunnels, right, in this picture that Chris put up. This is one of the tunnels, the steam tunnels,
That's the death chute. That's where they wheeled the dead bodies down and then into where they took them out. They tried to play where they didn't want
people to see them,
residents to see them, but then they'd be like, oh, my gosh, is that going to be me? And so they tried to keep the morale up as best as possible. But, it's a very long – they've got, a ramp, and then you've got steps. And it's just – it's pitch black. There's no light in there. There's no ventilation. We walked all the way down, and it's pretty cool. Yeah,
they did like a conveyor belt system to get the bodies out, and so they would, usher them down there. Families would go with them. They'd either go to a car, or they had a rail system back there that they would load them up onto the trains. Todd said, they said it was away from the main part of the building where the open air part. Where you were supposed to get as much, airtime as you could get all, every day of the year. That was what the doctors recommended. But they did not want all these dead bodies going by, while these other people were trying to fight TB.
Sure.
So interesting, but so sad. I mean, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Imagine the spirit energy that's attached to that, all of those deaths. Now, was this picture in the same area? Was this the same? It was the same thing.
That's it. You can see how dark it is.
We just used our phone. We have flashlights, but I use my phone. I have a video. It's pretty long, so I didn't send it. But it's us walking down, but then it's because it's dark, and you got to watch where you're going. You got to be careful because it's. I didn't want to sprain an ankle or.
Sure, especially if it's dark and there's more than a bunch of people walking through it together.
Yeah, Erin said, or not Erin, but John, shout out to John. He was our tour guide. He gave the tour and he was there all night. He was fantastic. He told us what the legend was, and then, now you want to hear the real story. So it's kind of neat because they don't embellish. They'll say what the story kind of goes as, but then they'll tell really what's been documented, what really happened or didn't happen. But anyway, he was saying that there was a storm just a couple nights before or a week before, like a tornado. And so they used the death chute as a safe haven while the tornado passed. So it's that, nothing's going to get there. And you're pretty safe.
That's secure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They showed us on the tour, what was it, the fifth floor? There was outside of a certain room, there was a nurse that hung herself outside. It was right outside the elevator, and the maintenance man found her. And apparently she had been having an affair with one of the doctors there. And so they had broken up, and so she killed herself. There was also speculation that maybe there was more to it than that, that she, you know, he had her killed and then made it look like a suicide. So they weren't really killed. But they said that was an area where there's a lot of orbs and a lot of weird stuff going on where she had killed herself. It was really sad, though.
Yeah, it's a sad, yeah. I mean, it's such a cool place, but there's a lot of sadness. And like John telling us the history, and you read about it, they're like, man, it's just so much death and so just sad. People kind of basically went there. They, you know, maybe they thought they could make it out, but very few did. That's pretty much where they went to die. You know,
are any of you guys sensitive to spirit at all? Other than, I mean, I know the interest is there, but are any of you sensitive to spirit that in that you could feel it in one way, shape, or form?
Nope, not at all.
No, no.
Wish I was.
Well, we feel like, at least I just feel the darkness and sad, but I don't feel like anything trying to communicate to me. I don't feel anything like that, but it's, I don't see anything. I can't. But it's just, your heart's heavy when you walk in this type of place.
Oh,
you
know? Sure. I mean, it's bound to be with all of that horror of that illness and then anything else that's attached to it, like the sad story about the nurse. I'm sure that there were other things that happened there, too, that were connected to something similar, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, and that was our first, I think it was our second place. Was that before or after Whispered Estate?
It was after.
Okay. Yeah. So it was our third, I guess our third place. But like this was, you know, Waverly is known. That's like top five, top 10 places that all investigators want to go to. And people like Waverly is one of the hot spots to go to. And I'm like, I can't believe like it's so close to us. And so when Aaron had this set up, we're like, heck yeah, we're going, you know. And we all took the day off from work the next day. And it's, yeah, you pull up and you're just like this gravelly road, you know, and you're just like, holy cow, this place is huge, and it's got you know,
it's looming in front of you, and you're looking at it going, oh my gosh,
like, from a movie or a comic, like, and then they got these gargoyles, these huge concrete gargoyles, and like, okay, it's just intimidating. It's very
sure,
and at the same time, it's kind of like, this is the real deal, guys. We're actually here at Waverly, and it did not. Now we've had a lot of stuff kind of happen there. Because we've only been to the one.
You guys brought a video with you about a ball moving, which is really similar to something that we had. So we had a balloon that was responding to us at the hospital that we had gone to, and there was no breeze or anything to explain why this balloon was responding and doing what we asked it to do. So I'm really excited to see the video that you guys brought. With the ball. You want to explain it before Chris puts it up?
Yeah, we were up on the top floor, and it was like the night was, the weather was, you know, it had been kind of like near rainy, and it was windy at times. And so I kept thinking, I'm the kind of person that I leave myself open to, you know, I'm a why guy. I want to know why things happen and what's going on. But I also want to, you know, understand things scientifically. So we were up, and they had all these balls around and toys and stuff that you could put around. So we had these balls, and they, like, most of them would just sit there and do nothing. And there was this purple ball that you guys will see here in just a minute, and it would move. And we would say, hey, does anybody want to play? And it would start moving. And I was like, it's got to be wind. So I would go around. Like, I stood in the doorway like, okay, there's just got to be air from outside. There was none. And so we talk about it in the video, like, okay, there's no air coming through right now. And we'd go pick the ball up, move it around, put it somewhere else, and it would still move, you know, if we put it somewhere else. So it was, I could not understand or explain in any common sense or scientific way how it was doing that or why it was doing that, except for some kind of spiritual energy moving.
Now, to add to that, though, to make it even more like, okay, something's up here that's not explainable, there were multiple balls, and so they're all closed. So if it's a big gush of wind,
they're all
They're all just those plastic balls you get at the grocery store in the big little cage tower that I used to get as a kid. They'd all move, and all of them are, you know, still as could be, except the one. And it's
except
just,
for that one.
Wobble,
wow.
Back, roll, and then it stopped, and there, all the others are, you know, standing still or sitting still.
On the other side, Erin had a ball. She went in by herself, but she caught it on video, she comes in, and the ball comes at her. And it's like, oh, well, the wind could have blown that to her. Then it stops and rolls the other way. So So it's like her and then kicked away from her, and she's like, oh my gosh, you know. So she, and she got that, which is really cool.
And they talk about Waverly Hills. It wasn't just adults; kids were there as well. So it wasn't just for adults that had tuberculosis, and so they had families or kids that were taken there. And the thing,
playgrounds up there.
Yeah, yeah. And they had, so they had these dolls and toy trucks and cars just kind of sporadically around on little ledges or on the floor, and they had these balls. And so it's said that these kids will interact with them. They want to play. It's these spirits, these, you know, and it's, I can't explain it. I know we were just like, oh my gosh, this is insane. It was really insane.
You were playing with a spirit child.
Yeah. And again, like I said, why did all the other ones move? Just the one, you know? And
sure.
Who knows, but yeah.
All right, Chris, why don't you play that for us? I'm really excited to see this. You said it's a purple ball, right?
Yes.
Good.
There you go. There you go.
That's awesome.
And no breeze and no wind.
And no other balls moving. It's still not. And it's only the purple one that moves. That's pretty cool. Thank you.
Thank you for saying that.
Look at that.
And those other two have not moved at all.
No. I've got it where, yeah, I was able to show the purple one moving with the other one.
Yeah, I'm standing by the door right here, too.
Yeah, we made sure
off camera.
Yeah, we couldn't feel a breeze at all. Not.
I love that. Huh.
Yeah, that's amazing, even watching it now. I get goosebumps, really. I do. I'm not even lying. I'm like, that's crazy.
I'll bet.
You know, whatever happened, that is exciting.
But in the moment when it's happening, you're not freaking out. You're just kind of like in awe, right? It's happening. And you can't believe that it's happening, but you're not creeped out. You're just in awe.
Well,
because you think about the energy it takes for them to even move that much. Yeah. So that's really cool.
My take of going to these haunted locations, I'm known as the flashlight guy.
Flashlight guy?
Yeah. I bring like 5, 6, 7 flashlights with me just in case batteries go dead in one. I got a backup. And if that one goes bad, I got another backup.
He's even got the ones like you put on your head, the headband, you know.
Clunky ones, yeah.
I thought I'd be not necessarily scared, but I just wanted light. I felt I'd be safe as long as I had light. Then,
have you ever used one of your flashlights to try and get spirit to turn it on and off?
We have not done that. You know, I've seen
that is so cool when it happens. The first time that did happen with us, we thought, there's something up with the flashlight. And we kept picking the darn thing up and making sure and putting it down. And the same thing kept happening. And we're like, no, this is a spirit doing this. So now when it happens, and it happens often with us, we know it's the spirit doing it, which is really cool.
Yeah, we'll have to try that. I'd always bring all these flashlights, and I still do, but I'm the one that actually walks around silently with no lights. I just
really?
Yeah.
It's just having them, the security blanket for you, not necessarily using them.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I start bringing red flashlights now because I like those better than white flashlights.
Really?
Yeah, they're not as, they're bright. They allow you to see enough, but they're not so bright that you're getting everything out.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Huh. Yeah, and when you brought those, I like the red lights better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it allows you to see, but you're not, it doesn't overwhelm the area. And it's not so bright. It's just kind of a nice, red. that night. Yeah, Sean and I, we're the talkers. So like Nate walks around, he creeps around Eleanor in these places, and we don't know where he's at. We can't hear him. He's not using his flashlight. And Sean and I don't know how many times, 2 or 3
scares
times,
the bejesus out of
crap
us,
out of us. We're like, oh my god, Nate, you're already, you're listening. He just gets a kick out of
it. He sounds like my team member Joe. My team member Joe, he's the same way. He just kind of like goes off on his own. He's very quiet and you don't know where he is and he's always off doing something. But he always ends up coming back with some really wild stuff on his camera or a picture that he caught or something. And that's when he's going off on his own. I don't know that I could do that if I was in. I don't know. I never really thought about it. I always had like at least one person with me that I was walking that was a partner that we walked together. I don't know if I could go down into the tunnels by myself. I think I'd freak myself out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you got to be careful in these places. Like they're old. And
well, sure.
And even floors, and they've got like Waverly. It's different than the Indiana State Sanctuary because Indiana State, like literally they have all these personal items and belongings, but then and business stuff and health records. Waverly, it's cleared out, but you have busted up concrete and glass and doors caved in. So
sure.
You got to be really careful when you're
walking.
You can easily trip and
hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you're by yourself, it's not a good idea either. Yeah. Right.
But Sean, tell Eleanor, like, what when you and I were in that area.
We were, we were talking. Sorry. And then we finally decided, okay, we're going to be quiet. And we heard chains dragging. And that was around the area where there were psych patients.
Yeah.
The fourth floor where they had psych patients that they found that were chained to beds and starving and had covered in feces. And we looked everywhere because we're like, there's got to be a chain hitting somewhere. And we even asked that John. We're like, so are there like some chains hanging around here? We're looking around. He's like, there's nothing here. Nobody's been through here. But we heard chains being dragged.
Wow.
I also heard where we saw that ball, Aaron's mom was there that night too, and she was up there, and she and I went back in that room, and we heard somebody clear their throat, like a, and like not happy, and she goes, did you hear that? And I was like, yeah, like somebody kind of grunted at us and cleared their throat, and I was like, I think we need to get out of here, because we wanted to see those balls again and see if they were still moving, and I'm like, okay, we're out of here. things. Well, the other
sound of the heel.
Yes, there. Well, there's a famous apparition of a full body apparition of a girl coming out of one of those rooms, and they told us that if you go down, like have one person just put their hands out, go down first, and start saying, "Who wants to come out and say hi? Does anybody want to come out tonight and talk?" And you kind of invite the spirits to start peeking their heads out. You might see somebody or whatever.
Kind of like shadow figures, they call them.
Sure.
I was walking down the hall doing that, and I was, Todd was walking kind of behind me. And I thought I heard, because we had, there were, a half a dozen to, less than 20 people there.
Yeah.
But it's so much room there. Everybody was spread out. So just our group was in this area. But we thought maybe there was other people coming. And we heard it was hard-soled shoes, whether it was some nurse's heels or doctor's shoes. I heard this clicking, and I said, and so I stopped, and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I hear shoes, and none of ours, because none of us had
hard shoes.
Yeah, we had tennis shoes on. And so I'm thinking somebody from another group, and he's like, I don't hear anything. And then he's like, oh, I hear it.
And it was loud.
So we heard it like three different times. I heard it three times. He heard it like twice. And so we went down to find out who that belonged to. There was nobody down that hallway, but we distinctly heard.
Maybe it was like a nurse from back then. They used to wear heels, even with their dresses, their nursing dresses. So that might have been what you heard, a spirit nurse walking.
It was very loud. It wasn't one of those like, we hear it. No, we heard it. And it was, however many people were there, we're all in comfortable shoes because you're doing a lot of walking and nobody's going to wear heels. And in that, I think it was the same, I could be wrong, but the area that Sean and I, when we heard the chains, we had heard some like whispers or something, some kind of talking. And we thought, okay, again, it's people, other people checking the place out. So we walked through, and then John, the tour guide, he came through because there's like to walk through this big room and then you can go out and smoke, So he's taking, and I said, we were like, hey, John, were you in here just a minute or two ago? Or was there anybody? He goes, no, I just literally walked through. And we heard it clear as day. Nobody was anywhere near that room. And John's like, no. And I believe him. And he was like, nope. I said, well, Sean and I were hearing voices, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's
pretty common. Pretty
typical. So yeah. I was like, insane. It was crazy. It was really, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was walking down one of the hallways with Erin and her mom, and so I darted off into one of the patient rooms, and as I walked in there, right by my left ear, I just heard a man sigh and go, oh, right next to me. So I stopped.
Like, here's another bunch of these groups of people asking to talk to us again.
Yeah. Yeah. Erin heard it out in the hallway, too. She goes, whoa. I'm like, what? Did you hear that? And I'm like, hear what? I heard a man sigh. And I was like, yep, that's what I heard too.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah. What is it, the place that's creepy and all this bad stuff? Like, I mean, obviously, a lot of the places, they start out with good intentions and then just get understaffed and overwhelmed. And then it kind of goes to pot and then they're just mistreating patients and all this. But I got, and I think the guys too, we really felt calm though. We didn't feel anything that, oh my gosh, we got to get out of this room. We better not mess around with this. Like it was a.
Oh, you'd know it. You'd know it for sure if it was something that didn't want you there. That's for sure.
They do claim on the first floor, the main entryway, that there is a trapped demon that will mess with people in that area, but we did not encounter that.
People came and did a lot of portal work. They just said that people were coming in there left and right and doing seances and opening up portals. And they have mess everywhere, but there is written on a lot of the doors and the walls clean. And we're like, well, this isn't clean. But they said a priest had to come through. And when they would bless a place and like close these portals, they'd put it as clean. But whatever this demon is got stuck. And it's still running around down there, and it's not happy.
Oh, great.
Yeah, great. Right. And then there's also a creeper that runs around. We don't think we saw the creeper. We might have.
We'll get to that. But, yeah, the creeper is, like, one of the main, I don't want to call it traction, but one of the main entities, whatever.
The mascot.
Famous part of the Waverly. You know, they're called the creeper, or whatever it is called, the creeper. And I think it kind of hangs around the third or fourth floor. But it will go everywhere. Yeah. And it'll follow you, and you know, climb up on the ceiling upside down, or people see it on the walls. And I was so hoping, like Eleanor, I wanted to see the creature so bad. I was like, oh my gosh! Now we didn't. I didn't feel like we. You know, who knows? He could have been there. It could have been there. But But still, you get. Yeah, we had a feeling of calmness, like as we were going through. Except now. Sean was kind of, admit, you were kind of joking around with the demon thing.
I did. At the end, I was provoking it. And
no,
was
like, no, you God, did.
What my idea?
He wasn't being like this, but he was like, he made a joke. And I was like,
we were going through. I was going through saying, okay, if you're going to show yourself, this is the time to do it. You know, like we got by like a half an hour left.
And then he goes, that was Sean.
This is Todd speaking.
That's Sean. But John said, and he was very dead serious, like, this thing, you don't
mess with it. Yeah.
Don't try to battle it, fight it. Just
ignore it.
And because I can't explain. You go, it's bad. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not even like a mean spirit. It's something out of this world. It's not. It's evil. That's why you use evil.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
You don't want to mess with it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The portals are really. They can be scary things. And when people mess with stuff that they don't know. Mm-hmm. It just can cause a lot of issues. Yeah. There's some Whispers Estate that you guys went to. There's a stunning photo, which Chris is going to put up, and I'm going to give credit to the Whispers Estate website and Steve Gregory, who took that picture. It's been around since the late 1800s, and it has an interesting yet tragic history that led to its current condition and numerous reports of strange happenings. It's known as the fourth most terrifying place in America. Whispers Estate is a classic haunted house that belongs to any ghost hunter's bucket list. So do you know anything about this tragic history? Because I couldn't find it. It just said that there was a tragic history.
Oh, yes. This was a home to a local doctor, and his office was in the downstairs. And one of his children, his daughter, I don't know if she was necessarily, somehow the front room caught fire and she got severely burnt in the fire. They were able to save her, initially and get the fire out. But while she was in her bedroom trying to recoup and everything, I believe she passed away from her injuries.
Her injuries?
Yeah, she did die. Yeah. You know, there. This place was. We had gone to Bobby Mackey's to a live podcast show, and then which is just over the border from Indiana, and then so we're at Jerry Pauly's live show, and then we spent a couple hours there, and did a tour after his show, and then we drove. Whatever, what, two and a half hours yeah. to Whispers of State back in Indiana, and so we had double duty that night, and that was with Aaron, and that was our first investigation, and it was an all nighter, and it's a cool house. It's definitely old and creepy, and it's got attic, you know, the attic and the old stairways, and I'm gonna let Sean or Nate talk about the. Without going under the bus, like the creepy feeling we got from the caretaker, and then the Ouija board.
Well, Aaron, I had a couple friends there. A girl I used to work with was there, Linda, and her husband Mike, and they got there before we did, and they were with Aaron, and they were listening to this caretaker, and she had some kind of a, I thought it was a cross or something like religious. I was like, oh, is that like your protection? And she said, it was a talesman. And it was, she was like, oh no, I don't protect myself at all. I just let everything, you know, run wild. And she was talking about goat men. And she just seemed either on, you know, she was either drunk, drugged, or she was
possessed.
And we couldn't figure out why. And I asked Aaron, I was like, is this normal? And she's like, no, this is not normal. But this lady stayed. She goes, no, I'll be here, but I'll be in the back room and I'll put a fan on under the stairs and I'll be going to sleep. So I won't bother you guys. But it was still weird. And Aaron's like, no, I've never had anybody just hang out, you know. Mm-hmm. And it got stormy that night too. Remember, there was thunder, lightning, and wind. And she came out in like the middle of the night or later in the night. And she just stood in the doorway, like super creepy. And she's like, it's going to storm. And So we had to 2 o'clock that night because we were like, that lady's, we felt like she's running through like the walls or something,
yeah,
secret apartments.
Very attached to the home.
Yeah, and not in a house. That's why I wanted, we're not trying to make fun of her. We're not saying that she's wackadoo crazy, but something wasn't right. And like Nate, I think you nailed it. She was attached. And it was not good. It was an Aaron, and with Aaron being an actual investigator experienced. When she said, no, she's acting
then like you knew.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you knew. Mm-hmm.
She told us there were, I don't know how many, at least a half a dozen Ouija boards around.
Oh, yeah.
And there were little seance areas. And she's like, go ahead, have a seance. Do whatever you want. And Aaron's like, yeah, I think they're trying to open up portals. I think they're trying to get this place more haunted because there's a big black there, this big dark spirit. And they think that somebody brought that in inadvertently.
Oh, boy.
There. And, yeah, and so she's like, I don't know about this. And then she turned on her ghost box, and remember, she asked how many spirits or how many demons or whatever, and it goes 100. And I was like, or no, it was saying 100, and then we were like, well, what kind of spirits? And it goes, demonic.
Great.
To say demonic, this is not good.
Check, please. Yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, it wasn't answering the question.
But it knew our names, remember? It was like saying, because it would say... Linda's name, Mike's name, it had different names, and how did it know our names? We, you know, like it was really weird. Yeah, I don't know how that works, but a little creepy.
Yeah,
I'll bet. Oh my goodness. See, now I would have been intrigued by that whole building, but now that you tell me about this woman that was haunted herself and of these groups that come in that they allow to do whatever they want. You really don't know what you're not just getting the home's spirits that are haunting the place. You're getting who God knows what else, you know.
Then
me more than the
Then our naive inexperience up in the attic, there's a closet. We open up the closet and it's lined wall to ceiling
mirrors,
to the floor of all mirrors.
Yeah.
Oh no! Mirrors facing each other.
Yes.
That is not good.
You never know.
Those are portal. That opens up portals in itself when they're facing each other like that.
Yeah. Aaron let us know that she's like, "Oh no, this is bad."
Yeah, this is not good. Oh,
I guess they have a chair, Eleanor. They have a chair, like a little wooden chair, sitting in the middle of it, and I sat in there for a couple of minutes. And
we took a picture in there, remember?
Yeah. Well, and then Sean and I were doing a selfie. But you get the feeling like you don't want to play with it too much. Like, we weren't trying to, we were just like, this is cool. But it's that, okay. Let's
like you were being watched or something, right?
Don't spend too much time. We didn't linger in there. We didn't we were like, okay, we had our picture and let's go. Let's move on. It was, well, like Nate said, it was literally the floor was mirrored and the ceiling and the wall. And it was like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? I felt like the place was just asking for it. Like, they were literally wanting something bad. I don't know.
Really?
When we walked in there, when we finally got there, that the caretaker was talking about was, she was a practicing witch, and her friends and her were up in the attic doing a psionic ritual or whatnot, and they all had their hands, I guess, on a bed frame that's up there, if I remember correctly, and they said it started moving as they're going through this ritual, and as plain as day, this caretaker looked at us, and so I looked up to see what was pulling the bed away from us, and she said it was a goat man pulling the bed. And it's like,
oh boy,
getting
I know,
right
I do
now.
Too. I literally don't.
And then it's like, are we sure we want to investigate this?
Now we're gonna get goat man. Great. And she's like, yeah. He's like 7 feet tall, and he's a, you know, mean, vicious. I'm like, oh, great.
No, thank you.
And she's like, yeah, he's chased me through here. He comes out. I'm like, oh, great. So he's aggressive, and but we did not encounter him. Not that he wasn't there, but we didn't see him. And Nate, you had the sound of the steps. Remember the?
Oh yeah, me and Aaron, we came down. Everybody else was up in the attic, and we came down. And from that room, me and Aaron wanted to go back to the master bedroom because supposedly the bedroom door in there will pop open. And then you can close it, and then a few seconds later, it'll pop open again, and it'll just do it all night. And so we wanted to go and mess around with that. You got to go across the hallway to get to the master bedroom from that bedroom, and the stairs going downstairs were right there to the left as you cross the hallway. And Aaron went first. She went across and went into the master bedroom. And as I went through the hallway, I heard footsteps coming up the stairs. And that is the first experience that I've ever had. And so I went running into the room. I'm like, Aaron, I just heard footsteps. Running out to the hallway. I'm like, oh, what happened?
But she's a pretty professional. I'm telling you why, she's fearless. I mean,
she saw a shadow person too, and she was trying to.
Like a hallway or I don't know, kind of. And so we were all like, she's like, no, it's there. And then. And then I'm like, I don't know how I got the purge, but I'm like, I'm going to walk to it. And, you know, I'm like trying to draw it. Not like I'm not doing any disrespect. I'm just trying to see if it's going to interact or whatever. And I didn't see it. But, yeah, she was like, there is a shadow figure that's something that's just peeking around. Like, it peeks around. And then it's, you know, then it'll tuck back. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So it's pretty creepy place. We went out. Like, there's been bodies. So back to, like, the doctor, Eleanor, there's been bodies that have been buried, supposedly, I don't know, were they murdered or died? So they're buried like in the property in the backyard. We walked out to the backyard, and it's pretty creepy too, you know. And it's in a neighborhood, like there's houses on either side.
It's a church, a funeral home.
It's like a family plot or something, and it's in the middle of this property, and then as time goes on, houses get built around it, and it's just this random cemetery in the middle of nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm. It's we walked out there and we're like, okay. And then what there was like a map, there was like what was it, guys? There's something that we're like, okay, this might be where some of the bone, like the body parts
you could see an outline, like a in the ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, that's, you know, that's all I need to say. You know, and here it is at like, you know, midnight, it's October, we're walking around, and they have, what's funny is it scared us, like, you kind of walk by the window that lady would be in, you know, and we're like, that freaked me out more than anything. I was like, I don't want her, like, peeking, you know, scared. And then all of a sudden, like, a floodlight, kind of like an emergency, scared me to death. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, like a floodlight.
caught you off guard.
You're already on pins and needles, and you're not sure what's going to happen. And in this light,
sure.
Yeah, but, and I'm like, if she looks through this window, you know, I'm out of here. I'm going to
gave you. Remember the movie The Burbs? It's kind of like that Burbs feel. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, something's not right. There's bodies in the backyard here. There was because the whole reason it's called Whispers Estate is because there you'll get little whispers around, like the ghosts will come up and
you know, right out at you.
And Nate, you had that, or Aaron had that experience, right?
She might have, but I do remember.
She
didn't okay,
yeah. That bear, remember that bear?
Yeah, she has one of those bears that
the talking bears with the yeah. It's trying to attract children, right?
Yeah, it activates if there's movement or something.
Is that creepy doll room, right?
Yeah, the daughter's room, of course. And one thing that none of us enjoy is a bunch of creepy dolls in the room.
There's hundreds.
And so the daughter's room has a bunch of creepy dolls.
Oh, great.
Aaron put that bear on a chair right at the doorway there. And then her and I went back to the master bedroom, and you could look because the hallway was sort of 45s and then goes straight. So you could see into that bedroom from the chair in the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting in there. That bear lit up and fell off the chair.
Mm.
And so we went running into there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean and I didn't get to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
nobody was in there. It just randomly moved and fell.
Moved and fell off the chair.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, like it was just Aaron, us three, and then Sean's friends. You know, Linda, Mike, and I mean, so it wasn't like there's tons of people. That was it. You know, so yeah, Linda and Mike were wherever they were. Sean and I were wherever we were, and nobody knocked it. Yeah, and it's sitting there. It's not like it's a, you know, I mean, it's nothing knocked it off. And just for it to fall over, you know, when it's been sitting there, it's either not going to be able to sit or it's going to, you know, but it sat. And yeah, it's a pretty weird place.
It's a creepy little place. It's a haunted house.
It's old. It was not as active as it normally is when we were there, too.
Really?
Night before was really active, and so that night was a lot calmer.
And then Jerry, Philbo and Horse Stories, they've gone there, too, and they had way more interactions than what we did.
He's got videos on his group, Facebook group. He's one where he can't do the all-nighters. He's like, you know, give me 2 or 3 hours, and then, you know, I'll check out the place, and then I'm out. You know, he's like, I just don't want to spend all night, you know. And my gosh, he goes, yeah, just 2 or 3 hours. They were doing, Eleanor, like, the kind of flashlight trick where, I mean, they were having candles and lights flicker on and then flicker off, like candles, relighting, flashlights turning off, new batteries, like all kinds of stuff. And he was like, it was insane. He was just there for a couple hours, you know. Just,
wow.
Yeah, so you never know. It's like any place.
No, you never do know. It's very unpredictable. You can have stuff happen or nothing happen. It's just it's random.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But
now, what's with Bobby Mackey's? I mean, Chris is going to put the picture up, Bobby Mackey's website, picture credit, Michael Dallow, who took the picture. This is a Music World nightclub, honky-tonk place located in Wilder, Kentucky, and it's owned by country singer Bobby Mackey, but they claim that the nightclub is the site of hauntings, murders, and suicides. Is that true?
Yeah. All that history is true. Yeah, it's not hearsay or legend. It's it was a speakeasy, you know, back in the 20s, 30s, whatever.
So it has a history.
Oh yeah, mobsters ran
the Bloody Bucket. It was called for a while.
The Bloody Bucket, yeah,
because their bikers would just get into like fights, off of the blood, and
yeah, they're literally the blood. Yeah,
it's called the Bloody Bucket.
It's violent. A lot of violence, like I said, mobsters.
Okay.
Ran it. They ran moonshine and liquor illegally, and you know,
the portal to hell in the basement.
Yeah. There's a like a creek, a river, or a creek. I'll say a creek.
It's a river.
Is it a river?
Yeah.
Okay. Behind it, and you know, there's a lot of like limestone and a lot of stuff which they say.
Oh yeah, and that definitely adds to the whole energy kind of thing. Yeah, water nearby and stones for sure, minerals.
Yeah, so it's a short distance. It's just like I said, right over the bridge from Indiana into Kentucky, and
it's just south of Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati. Yeah, sorry, and. We went to Jerry and Tracy's live show, podcast live show, and then afterwards, the he had actually had two of the like tour guides, ladies that work there. They do, you know, investigation tour guides or tours. And so they spoke about it, told a lot about the history and how they started working there and some of the experiences they've had. And then what was cool is they split, there's like 40 of us, and they took 20 down to the, you had to kind of walk out into like the, they call it the basement. And then the rest of us were upstairs. So they showed us around and then they switched it, you know, so we had like a half hour to spend down and a half hour up. And the first of all, the place is, he bought in like 76, 77, 78, and it's literally 1978 still.
It's wood, frozen in time.
Wood paneling. They have a door that's locked, but they've got like tied and chained. It's not uneven floors. You can smoke in there. You can still smoke in there. It's a true honky tonk. They have live bands and a bar, and it's like
pool tables.
But it's cool. It's got the, yeah, you feel like you're back in the 1970s on Burt Reynolds movie or something. But the who was the guy that the
Carl.
Yeah, Carl. So uh-huh. I'll let you guys tell them.
Well, Carl was the caretaker there.
Yeah, he's a caretaker. He worked
there.
Yeah.
He ended up, what was it? How many exorcisms?
Three.
Was it two?
At least two or three.
Two or three exorcisms this guy had to have in the back room, and they showed us exactly where these exorcisms were at. But they think he had it like he was, there was something mentally going on with him, and he started digging. And they didn't know what he was looking for. And they found this well, basically, that led to the river. And they call it the gateway to hell or portal to hell. And how he knew that was there, why he was digging for that, nobody really knows. But they said that he was very beloved by Bobby Mackey. And he would talk about the hauntings and all the paranormal things that he was seeing. And Bobby Mackey was like, I don't want to know about this. I don't want to talk about this. I want people to come here. This is a, you know, bands play and a honky tonk, and I want people to spend their money. They're not going to want to spend their money. And he would go on.
So he didn't want the whole haunting thing going on.
He got into the whole. Yeah,
he's scared. He doesn't want to be there during certain times. And there are, you know, he's had some creepy feelings there, and he doesn't like that whole part of it at all.
Like what Todd was saying though, is the building is very interesting because in the basement. The original establishment is a one-room house, and it's still in the basement, and that's where the portal to hell is. Underneath the floor of this little shack.
It's called Stairs to Nowhere, and it actually goes just below where now the bathroom is, but they called it the Stairs to Nowhere. And down there in that basement where the showgirls, because there were dancing girls, and that was their where the changing rooms and everything.
Dressing rooms.
And they would kids, like their kids would be down there hanging out with toys or whatever while mom went and performed. And
but the stairway was there, so the mobsters, when they were running it, they'd run down those stairs into the basement and run out the back.
Yeah, so then they could get a head start where the police wouldn't even know they escaped. And I mean, so it's got a cool history. It's really stuff.
Yeah,
Well, it was interesting when they said, now there's like a couple of pool tables, and they said, now a lot of times, and there's like a shadow figure, some type of creature that kind of the ladies get creeped out about. But like there's a pool table area, and they said a lot of people feel like a heaviness, they get like nauseous or headaches. And I'm not kidding, when I walked over there, all three of us, I started getting a headache. And I'm like, this is really weird. I'm like, okay. I didn't get nauseous, I didn't feel sick, but I was like a pressure on the front of my head. And then when we walked away, creepy corner, and I'm not kidding you. As soon as we walked off,
I felt that way. I had the same problem, the same feeling.
When we first got there, we met with the two paranormal investigator girls, and so they're like, let's go in. And so we went in. All the lights are off in this place, and it is pitch black in there. And all that's on as you initially go in there is you go down a hallway, and it's just one light right there. And you look across the entire establishment where the pool tables are, and the metal strip that goes around the top of the pool table, you could see it reflecting the light. And we saw, like, that glowing strip, like something walked in front of it and blocked the glow.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely creepy. Well, they say like they'll even interact, like if you put the pool balls on the table, some of them will move, you know. And I don't know if we did that or not. They'll say that happens. And the two ladies that work there, she's like, they're like, we don't like to go in there by ourselves. Like they wait for their partner, somebody to show up to, because they don't want to be stuck there by themselves, because even though they haven't had anything too bad happen, it's just they don't want to take a chance. It's scary. It's creepy. Mm-hmm. So
to be alone would be even scarier, yeah.
And it's only,
on your agenda for the months ahead, guys? Do you have any other places that you have on your bucket list that you're going to hit in the next couple months?
Well, I hate to say this. There's a place called Randolph County Asylum in Winchester, Indiana, towards Ohio, kind of right on the border. And we have been, since we've done this podcast, Eleanor, we wanted to go there. We wanted to do like a podcast or a episode on it. We wanted to, you know, and we still have not made it there. And we literally had an on location book there, would have been last month. But we had to cancel it, and we were like bummed. Like, we just can't, I don't know, for whatever reason, we just cannot get there. But that's a place we really want to go to, Randolph County Asylum. They do a lot of tours and investigations and a lot of events. So we're hoping to have that as a place. Like I said, it's only an hour and a half drive or whatever, a couple hours. I don't know.
The Lebanon, the distillery.
There. Oh, yeah. We did, with Jerry, we did a live show. We were part of a live show at the Boone County Jail Distillery in Lebanon, Indiana, just north of us. And it's got a great history. It's a distillery now, but it was an old jail, and they've kept it up great. It's beautiful. It's well, you know, but that's got a little haunted history, some creepiness, some ghosts. We're hoping to do like a on location there. You know, the Randolph County Asylum. There's, we're hoping to make it to like the Michigan. We did an episode on it.
Horror Museum.
Michigan Horror Museum. This guy named, his name's Nate.
Nate,
he's the owner. He's like a 27-year-old guy.
That's fun.
He owns it, and it's haunted. They've got like real brains. They have all kinds of macabre and odd, creepy stuff. You know,
human skin.
Yeah. He goes around. He collects this stuff, and so. But it's got, like I said, he does tours and investigations. So we're hoping to get with him. I've been in contact with him. It's been a few months, but I'm reaching back out. Hopefully, we can do like an on location, but. We just want to go check out the place. It's so, you know, all these places are within driving distance, just a few hours. So shouldn't be that hard.
Right.
So I think those are a few of the places we want to kind of check out. You know.
Yeah. Well, audience how they can find your podcast and when they can go looking for it.
Well, so we're on all platforms. So any way you listen to a podcast, you can find us by searching Middle Aged and Creeped Out. And we drop every Wednesday evening, typically at 7:00 p.m. We drop our full episodes, and then we do Middle Aged Minis, and they drop every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern. They're just short versions. We get right to the topic. We don't do any special announcements or anything. So we can be listened to on Wednesday nights and Saturdays, and we're on TikTok, Instagram,
Facebook, Twitter.
X, whatever
it's called now.
Yeah, so we're pretty easy to find. Yep.
On TikTok, it's Middle Aged and Creeped Out on TikTok, because I'm going to look for you.
You mm-hmm. can, any of our like social media, if you search Middle Aged and Creeped Out, it might say Mako, like our M-A-A-C-O. All this tied
okay.
together. So if you typed in Mako Podcast or Middle Aged and Creeped Out, you'll find it.
Our email account.
All right, I'll find you.
MakoPodcast@gmail.com. If anybody wants emails, that's two A's.
Yeah. Pretty easy to contact. And we try to, anybody wants to email us or message us or whatever, we're very, you know, we try to reply. And yeah, we love the interaction with people. So if it's just people interested or if they're, you know, other podcasters, investigators, authors, owners of these places, hit us up.
Your game.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, it was really nice talking paranormal with you. I really had fun. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing the places that you've been with and showing us the evidence. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you. We had a great time.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Yeah, it was fun.
I hope you'll come back again sometime.
Please.
Absolutely.
We'd love to. We love it. Definitely. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much and have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Keep it creepy.
And thank you, Techie Chris, too. We couldn't do it without you. If you all like listening to this week's episode and you're into all things paranormal, check out my other show, Eleanor Wagner's Strange and Scary World Podcast, out of Paranormal UK Radio Network, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. And if any of you are interested in reading any of my books, you can find them on Amazon.
You can get signed copies directly through me at authoreleanorwagner@gmail.com. I write about the history of the town and location and the paranormal. Sorry about that, but I'm excited to share from both my Creepin' It Real podcast and Strange and Scary World podcast. Anyone interested in getting one can email me at authoreleanorwagner@gmail.com. Lastly, viewers, tune in on Thursday, September 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when we will have another one of our pre-scheduled paranormal interviews to share with you. Thank you and good night.
I hope you've enjoyed this little journey down my own personal nightmare alley. If you're one of those people who experiences the paranormal and has stories of your own you've been filing away over the years, I want to hear about them. And if you're a part of a paranormal investigative team, even better. I'd love to have you on my show. Got a questionable photo? Send it in. Would love to have an open discussion here amongst the professionals. Reach out to me at authoreleanorwagner@gmail.com. Enjoy our soundtrack music, Headless Horseman by Alexander Nakarada, promoted by freestockmusic.com. And remember, no ghost story is better than a real-life ghost story. Until we meet again, make sure you're creeping it real.